K-E-M-T-O-N-A. Chemto.
Chemto, Chemto, so easy to apply. On the walls 1 hour, and your room is dry. Chemto, Chemto, cost you 98. No bother. Chemto sure is great.
Chemtone, the miracle wall finish, brings you from Memphis, Tennessee,
the master metalist,
the metal marvel,
the newest star in radio, Dunninger.
Being in Memphis again is a real treat, because I have never been received more generously anywhere. Your welcome is truly one of warmth, and I feel quite at home here. But before we get down to work, I'm sure that everybody would like to meet our judges of the evening. Bob Neal, would you do the honors?
Why, certainly, Dunninger. Our first judge is the commanding general of the Memphis Army Service Depot, Brigadier General W.A. Danielson, who was a field artillery man in the last war.
I've traveled over the world, seen many amazing things. In fact, as an engineer, I've discovered many secrets. So tonight, if I can discover how Dunninger reads so many people's thoughts, and could read the thoughts particularly of some birds in Berlin and Tokyo, I'd have the real secret weapon.
General, let me assure you, I cannot possibly read the minds or thoughts of rats and jackasses.
And here is the president of the 19th Century Club and chairman of the Memphis City Beautiful Commission, Mrs. W.B. Fowler.
It's a woman's prerogative to change her mind, they say. But having heard Mr. Dunninger on the air before, tonight my mind's made up for a most enjoyable evening.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Fowler. And now, here's the former captain and second baseman of the St. Louis Cardinals, who's now doing a great job for Uncle Sam, Staff Sergeant Jimmy Brown.
I've often wondered about Mort Cooper's right arm and Stan Musial's bet, and I'm still wondering what happened last year in the World Series. But still, seriously, if I don't stop wondering about Dunninger, I'm going to be caught napping off at first, so let's see what happens.
All right, thank you, Jimmy. And our fourth judge tonight is a man I think a few of you might know, the famed maestro of Nashville's Grand Ole Opry, Roy Acuff.
Well, a lot of my friends listen in to Mr. Dunninger, so I'm here to find out for them how he does this thing and all about it.
Well, thank you a lot, Roy. And now, Dunninger, it's all yours.
Well, with such distinguished friends as I have here tonight as judges, well, practically anything is likely to happen. But I think it's about time I switch into action and give everything I can to my audience here in Memphis and to my listening audience everywhere.
Now, there is an impression of the audience tonight of someone that is concentrating a thought, or rather upon a thought, that is thinking of something relative to a Pullman ticket. Where does that come from, please? Won't you kindly raise your hand? A Pullman ticket. The young lady to the left of the auditorium. Seated in a box. Is that yours, young lady? Is that your thought?
Yes, sir.
That is your thought. Have you that ticket with you?
Yes, sir.
In your purse?
In my hand.
In your hand now. Yes. Are you asking me to give you the number of your Pullman ticket?
Yes, sir.
By the way, isn't that a half-rate ticket?
Yes, sir.
It is a half-rate ticket. Is the first digit an 8?
Yes, sir.
Is the next a 3?
Yes, sir.
A 9?
Yes, sir.
A 1?
Yes, sir.
An 8?
Yes, sir.
Are you also concentrating your mind upon the day, month, and year upon which you were born?
Yes, sir.
Does anyone in the audience know that other than you yourself?
Yes, sir.
How many?
2.
Who are they, please?
My mother and father.
Your mother and father. Now, you're seated. Well, they would. You are seated as your mother and father is at an approximate distance of 75 or 100 feet from my platform. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, concentrate your mind upon the month in which you were born. Were you born in the month of January?
Yes, sir.
Upon the 10th day?
Yes, sir.
In the year 1920? 29.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for standing. The initials F-A-W. Where does that come from, please? F-A-W. The lady about the 25th row in the center of the auditorium. Is that yours, young lady?
That's right.
Is that F-A-W-5?
Yes, it is.
What is that, please?
That's right.
That's correct. Aren't you also concentrating your mind upon a, I don't know what that is. I get the word little. Little black. Is that correct?
That's right.
Little black Sambo?
Uh-huh.
Well, well, that's a dark subject. Little black Sambo. Now, this other word, a series of words you have in mind. What is the nature of those words? Is that something in English or a foreign language? What is it?
I think it's Spanish.
You think it's Spanish?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't speak a word of Spanish, I regret to state, but I'll try and give it to you as closely as I can. Spell it in your mind, please. Is that B-E-S-E-M... I?
Something like that. Yes. I don't know Spanish either.
And the last word in your mind, Muso, M-U-C-H-O.
Uh-huh, that's right.
That's correct.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. The lady or gentleman. Now, this is a young man's thought. Can I trust her? Where does it come from, please? The gentleman way down the left. My dear friend, you can trust her just as much as she can trust you. That's about a 50-50 offer. There is an impression that I received from someone, some lady or gentleman, was thinking of a series of numbers. I get the digits 0499. Who recognizes that, please? That's part of it. The lady about the 18th row, is that correct, young lady?
Yes, that's right.
What type of number is that, please?
That's a serial number.
Serial number. That is half of it, is it not?
That is right.
Have you your serial number memorized, or do you carry it with you?
I do not carry it with me.
Well, have you it memorized?
Yes.
Perfect. Is the rest of that number 352?
That is correct.
Thank you very much. Who among you is thinking of a name? I get Lieutenant Commander, two names. Associated with the thought, M.M. Those are the initials. The lady here in the box, left side of the auditorium, right here. The young man is going over to the lady now with the microphone. Is that your thought?
Yes.
Is that your thought, please?
Yes.
Yes. We never met before.
No.
Now, strange as it may seem, the first name and the last name that you were thinking about are identical.
They are.
Strange. The name happens to be Moore, M-O-O-R-E, Moore.
Correct.
Aren't you likewise thinking of O-R-T-H-O-P-E-D-N or I-N or I-R or something like that?
I see, orthopedic.
I see. You see, as I receive an impression, I never try to work it out. I do it as I receive the impression from you. Is that a orthopedic surgeon?
Yes.
I see. And you will likewise think of the initials N-O?
Yes.
Thank you very much for that. The initials S-C-L. Where do they come from, please? Stanley is the first name. Lady about the 30th row. We never met before, young lady. Stanley. You're thinking of Stanley?
That's right.
Is that Stanley Carl?
Right.
Is that Stanley Carl Lowenberg?
That is right.
Thank you. What was my name? I take it this lady thinks of her name, of course, in terms of a name before marriage, her maiden name, and telephone number. Whose thought is that be? I receive a mental impression of the initials MB. Where does that come from, please? That is yours, Madden. Your maiden name, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Your name still, of course, is Minnie.
Yes, sir.
Minnie. I like that name. That's a pretty name. Minnie. Now, Minnie, the name, madam, is that Buzzer, B-U-S-E-R?
Buser.
Buser. Oh, I spelled it correctly. I probably mispronounced it. I'm sorry. Buser is correct.
Yes, sir.
This phone number, is that your present number?
Yes, sir.
Good. You've had that number for quite some time.
Yes, sir.
Yes, you've had that number for many years, I should state. About six or seven, is that right?
Yes, sir.
The number as I mentally receive it is 23393. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Who among you is thinking of a name or a word? I get G-U-S-T-A-T-O-R-Y. The young man, left side of the auditorium,
yes,
is that
sir.
Your thought, sir?
Yes, sir.
What type of word is that? I don't recognize it.
That has to do with smell.
I see. That, of course, is a technical term, then, I take it, known practically to those in your profession or your endeavor, but
yes,
not generally accepted. Is that so?
Correct.
Well, are there various types? Because
yes,
you're
sir.
Asking for quite another thought, which I likewise think is associated with a technical term. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Are you thinking of Palma?
Yes, sir.
Palma sweating?
Yes, sir.
And what does that G-U-A-O stand for?
You have it spelt wrong.
Sir?
You have it spelt wrong.
I have it spelled wrong. Well, that's as close as I can get to it, but that's about my 90% average, isn't it?
K-U-N-O.
Well, I think... Oh, I see. I've lost one letter. Thank you very much. Who is thinking of 33 dash? Who's thought me? That's part of a thought, part of a series of numbers. 36, rather. 36. Where does it come from? The gentleman in the... Oh, it seems to come from the very, very last row of the auditorium. Not certain. 36-3-4. The gentleman way back, the very, very last row. I noticed, sir, that you are holding up a card. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
What type of card is that?
The card is a paper I've written on, and the other is a statement from a bank.
I see, a bank statement.
Yes.
And a card that you've written on. Now,
yes.
Don't let the man with the mic see it, please.
Oh,
I don't want anyone to think that I'm using an associate or a confederate in any fashion. You alone can see that. Is that correct, sir?
That's right.
Is that 36-34-83?
No, sir.
Who is thinking of that number? It may not come from your direction. Is that any part of that right? Now, it may not come from your direction. I get 36-34-83 very clearly. Whose thought is that, please, if not yours? You see, I cannot single you out. Is that anything like it, sir?
The first two numbers are right.
Well, then it isn't your thought. Will the lady or gentleman thinking of that set of numbers please identify them by raising his or her hand? I cannot locate you. Very well. I'll have to pass on to the next. Who is thinking of the initials? WWL. That is the lady about the 22nd row. 22nd row. Is that L-U... L-U-T-T-R-E-L-L or something like that?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Wait a moment. Is that a relative of yours?
Yes, sir.
Husband or brother?
Nephew.
Nephew?
Mm-hmm.
You're asking me to tell you where he is at this time?
Yes.
Is he a German prisoner?
Yes, sir.
Is he interned at a place called Oflag?
Yes, sir.
In Germany?
Yes, sir.
At Station 64?
Yes, sir.
Is his prison number, as dictated by the German government, 1-4, or rather 1-5-3, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, ma'am.
Well, General Danielson, how's Dunninger doing?
Looks to me as if he's outflanking us all at every turn with that crystal mind of his.
Mrs. Fowler?
If this keeps up, we'll have to get earplugs in all the city statues, or they'll be asking questions, too.
Well, Jimmy Brown, what do you think about it?
Up to now, he's gotten a trap between first and second.
Roy Acuff.
Mr. Dunninger's kind of like Old Man River. He can just keep rolling on.
Yes, just like Old Man River, Dunninger and Chemtone keep rolling along. Here's what Mrs. Carl Bluer, 220 South Cook Street, Trenton, New Jersey, has to say about Chemtone.
A year ago, we used Chemtone in our living room, dining room, and one bedroom with very excellent results. We're especially pleased with the living room. The original wallpaper had heavy figures on it, and besides this, it was dirty. We never expected one coat of Chemtone to cover it completely, but it did, and still looks as good as it did a year ago. Our friends are always commenting on how nice it looks. My husband did all the work himself in a few evenings. He painted the living room ceiling one night and finished the walls the next, and we were able to put the furniture back before even going to bed. Redecorating the three rooms cost us exactly $3 times $2.98. I was amazed at the fine job my husband was able to do. You see, he's an insurance man and not at all handy at things like painting. I really think that the result my husband got with Chemtone proves your claim that anyone can apply it. We plan to use Chemtone from now on, whenever we do any redecorating.
Everyone is enthusiastic about Chemtone because there's no muss with Chemtone. No fuss with Chemtone. No bother with Chemtone, the miracle wall finish. Well, it's time for not only the studio audience, but Dunninger's audience everywhere to join the fun and fascination of Dunninger's projection. Last week, you'll remember Dunninger projected the name of one of the heroic women's services. Wax. Waves. Bars. And the women marines. And there were the wasps. Among our studio audience, 55% more people got waves than any other of the service branches we have just mentioned. And just an hour ago, this wire arrived from Miss Norma Anderson of the Blue Network's production department with the total from our listening audience.
George Weeks, station WMPS, Memphis, Tennessee. Waves led all others by 42%.
And now, Mrs. Fowler, would you open the envelope and reveal the women's service which Dunninger projected?
W-A-V-E-S. Waves.
Next week, Dunninger will broadcast from Atlanta, Georgia, and Atlanta is the inspiration for his choice for projection for tonight. In tribute to Margaret Mitchell's famed book, Dunninger will project the name of one of the characters from Gone with the Wind. It will be either Scarlett O'Hara, Red Butler, Melanie Wilkes, Ashley Wilkes, or Mammy. All set, Dunninger?
Now remember, I will project only one of the names you have heard from this famous book, Gone with the Wind. Please don't try to make up your mind ahead of time. Don't order your impression when you receive it. Now remember, it will be either Scarlett O'Hara, Red Butler, Melanie Wilkes, Ashley Wilkes, or Mammy. All right? Ready? Begin. Concentrate.
Mail your impression of the name projected to Dunninger. D-U-N-N-I-N-G-E-R, Dunninger, Carol Chemtone, Blue Network, Radio City 20, New York. Well, Dunninger is in rare form tonight. He has advised us that he would do a double brain buster, whatever that is. It sounds terrific, so I'll turn the mic over to him and let him explain the whole thing.
On the audio state, Dellinger's in rare form tonight. As a matter of fact, the brain buster I have chosen is one, as you claim, is extremely difficult. But having traveled for the last several weeks as much as I have and leaving tonight for Atlanta right after the show, makes it rather difficult to be assured that I will be 100% accurate. I'm going to try very, very hard to accomplish one of the most difficult mental feats that man has ever attempted. Upon this stage, I'm certain my listeners will agree, I am honored by having four persons who are unquestionably outstanding in each and every one of their own chosen fields of endeavor. I'm certain that we can accept the words of the three gentlemen and the lady who have so kindly consented to cooperate with me upon this unique and extremely difficult test. Now, a word or two, please, from the General, from Roy, and from Mrs. Fowler and Mr. Brown. Do you pledge your word that I have asked you absolutely nothing that might help me in the slightest possible manner regarding the test that we are doing tonight? Would you kindly answer? Is that correct, General?
No.
And you, please, Mrs. Fowler. Is that correct?
No.
Now, In fact, my judges do not even know what the second part of my brain buster consists of. Is that correct?
This time you don't even know what I propose to do. Therefore, prearrangement of any caliber would be entirely out of question. Is that not so?
No.
And you, Roy?
No.
Good enough.
Hey, Roy is very polite about the thing. He tacked the star on the end. Well, that's the way it is. Now, I'm going to ask for the first part of the demonstration that the judges leave this stage. They're going to walk to different parts of the building. While out, each one is to concentrate his or her mind, as the case may be, upon one number composed of four digits, such as 2196, 4291, or any like combination. Now, the numbers I have suggested, I have merely acted, I trust, as an example. Don't take them if you can help it. On the other hand, if you choose to accept what I call, that's up to you. But don't be guided by anything that I might say. Be sure that your choice is your own. But one thing, please, do not alter your impressions. Don't change your mind. Would you at this time be good enough to leave the auditorium, walk down the left side here of the platform into a room that has a large metal door. The door is to be locked in back of you, and remember this. Do not speak the numbers upon your lips, so that I cannot be accused of having any concealed, well, dictaphones or speakers or anything. Simply concentrate your minds individually, each, upon one lone number. The judges have left the platform. The door has been locked in back of them. Three gentlemen are guarding the door. They are probably 60 or 70 feet away from where I am seated. They cannot hear a word that I am saying to my listening audience. I will mentally attempt to read the impressions of the four judges. I will add mentally, if I can, the digits without placing them upon paper or blackboard. I will simply write, as I receive it, the total to the 16 numbers, the number and set of four. Write it upon a blackboard as I receive them. In fact, I am beginning now. I'm going to show this total to my audience here, many hundreds of persons in the studio, and then call it to you, my listeners, over the air. Naturally, I have to write these numbers back as I receive them. I receive 2, 1, 3, 6, 1. Reverse. A total of 16,312. George Weiss, will you make a recording or a record of that? You can't do that. Well, I'll keep it here. 16,312. Now remember, my listening audience, as these four persons come back into the studio, I will attempt to get the impression individually of each and every one. Won't you please take a paper and pencil, write down the numbers for yourselves upon paper as they come in. Will you kindly call them in? The attendant is now walking to the door. He's going to call on the judges as they re-enter, please. The lady, the first one to enter the auditorium or to return to her seat, is Mrs. Fowler. Mrs. Fowler, are you concentrating your mind, and have you concentrated your mind while in the other part of the building upon the digits 6702?
Correct.
6,702 for Mrs. Fowler.
The last part of my telephone number.
Well, I didn't know that, of course, did I?
No.
Perfect. General Daniels, am I correct in stating that you have concentrated your mind upon the digits 6, 8, 8, and 4?
Yes, sir.
6,884 at the approximate distance of 60 feet behind a stone wall and a door of metal. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
The general tells us that is correct. The next number, that I get from the mind of Roy Acoff. He has given me mentally the digits 1, 2, 3, and 4. Is that correct?
Correct. The first ones I ever learned.
Well, it's great to see that you still remember them anyway. That's an achievement. And the last set of numbers from Jimmy Brown. Jimmy, are you concentrating your mind upon an excellent set of numbers? The date when Columbus discovered this great and glorious nation, 1492.
That's right, Sharon.
I thank you, Mr. Brown. 1492. George Weiss has written all these numbers, as I've called them, upon a large blackboard. I trust that my listening audience has done likewise, paper upon a sheet of paper or something. What is the total? George is making mistakes here.
Well, that's not the first mistake George ever made, is it, George? Do you remember them, George?
Wait a minute, am I wrong?
Which one have you forgotten?
12.
You had them wrong.
9, 12, 21, 90, 17, 19, 23.
No, is he wrong? He's wrong. Will someone add them for George, please?
That's right.
1, 6, 3, 1, 2.
That is my total. 1, 6, 3, 1, 2. Now, for the second half of my brain buster. Upon the table in front of the judges is a copy of the largest one-volume telephone directory in the United States, the Chicago Book. That contains millions of names, numbers, and addresses. We will take that number, which might have been anything, any number at all, in our history of numerals. 16312. I suggest we turn to page 163. Would you kindly do that, please? Page 163. 163, and take the first column, count down to the 12th word, or the 12th name, or the 12th number. Have you done so, Roy?
Yes.
You have the 12th upon page 163, the 12 being the last two digits of our total. I will read the minds of the four judges, seated at a distance of many feet, and attempt, I should say read the thoughts, but be better, to attempt to read the name, the address, and the phone number. Is that name, as I receive it mentally, concentrate please, is that Brown? Clifford
correct.
S. Brown. Is
correct.
That right?
Yes.
That is correct.
Absolutely.
Is the address 3014N Racin, R-A-C-I-N?
Correct.
The telephone number, LAC, Lakeview, 1860. Is that correct?
It sure is.
Well, Mrs. Fowler looks a little bit puzzled. Are you, Mrs. Fowler?
Am I? I couldn't be more puzzled if I were one of the statues I referred to early in the broadcast. I am completely nonplussed.
Well, General Danielson, have you anything to report to our audience?
If I were a top sergeant and radio had no restrictions, I'd be inclined to report that he has a marvelous radio receiving set stored away in his skull.
Well, Jimmy Brown, what are your comments?
All I can say is, when I get back into baseball, if I could read the thoughts of the manager and the coaches like Dunninger has here tonight, the Cardinals will win by 50 games each year.
And Roy Acuff, what's the decision?
Well, I took the night train to Memphis. Mr. D was in Memphis. I came down here at his invitation. I've had a great time and a real thrill. If he'll just come to Nashville, I know he'll be a great sensation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'll be shouting hallelujah all the day. I've had a jubilee with this man named Mr. B, and I'll shout hallelujah all the way.
Thank you, Roy Acuff. You know, folks, come winter, summer, spring, or fall, you get the same results with Chemtone, the miracle wall finish. Chemtone in all its lovely colors is also the overall finish because it goes over all these surfaces: wallpaper, paint, cement, plaster, wallboard, brick, and tile. Chemtone is as easy to buy as it is to use because there's bound to be a Chemtone dealer near you. Never mind the weather, Chemtone doesn't. Get Chemtone, the miracle wall finish, today. Next week, Dunninger will
broadcast from Atlanta, where he'll read the thoughts of his Georgia audience.
Protect the names of famous nurses in history as a reminder that the Red Cross Drive will start in March.
Mentally break into a treasure chest sealed by famous Atlanta personalities.
Among next week's judges, there will be Atlanta's Mayor Hartsfield, General Clark Howell, publisher of the Atlanta Constitution, and Mrs. Hunter Bell, president of the Atlanta Junior League. And now here's Dunninger to say,
the Red Cross needs your help. In these war days, it's service to humanity to buy all that you can in the way of bonds and give the Red Cross all the support that you can. Thank you, and good night.
This is Bob Neal bidding you a pleasant good night for the makers of Chemtone, K-E-M-T-O-N-E, and Chemtone's 50,000 dealers throughout the country. Try Chemtone. This is the Blue Network.